Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest today is the first person I ever met, I suppose, technically. It's my mother, Joan McNulty. Mom, thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott.
I know you're excited.
I am.
I usually ask folks to tell themselves a little bit, you know, talk a little bit about themselves. So why don't you talk a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm retired. I live here. I moved up here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I'm up here like 6 months. I really enjoy it. I'm down here in South Philly. I enjoy it. It reminds me a lot of home in New York. And that's about it.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Fair enough. And yes, you live quite close to me. And usually I'm recording in Center City, but now we're actually on location in your apartment.
That is correct.
We are together. We just watched an episode of Voyager together. And we're going to talk about it. We'll get to that. Well, I'll say what the episode is. It's from season 6. It's episode 25. It's called The Haunting of Deck 12, which is a Neelix-heavy episode. Neelix, not my favorite character, but we'll get to that in a moment. So tell me a little bit, Mom, about your interest in Star Trek. Would you say that you are interested in Star Trek? Obviously, I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
This is true.
I do not believe that you are as big a Star Trek fan as I am, but I could be incorrect, so tell me.
I like the older Star Treks. I like the beginning ones. This the Voyager one, this particular episode, I didn't care for. I thought it was a little on the boring side.
You have skipped far ahead into our discussion here.
Oh, so sorry.
That's right. Well, you did fall asleep, so I know. That's never a good sign in any episode of anything. What about the original Star Trek did you like so much? So the original series, Kirk, Spock,
right.
McCoy.
Right.
You would say that's your favorite?
Well, I watched that from the very beginning when it first came out. Mm-hmm. So as they grew, of course, the series changed.
Right.
So it got more interesting, and then they put in more techie things. So, but this one, this Voyager, I'm not too, maybe I'm just because I'm used to the other one.
So the original series or Next Generation with Picard and Riker as well?
Oh, some of them I liked. Some of them I enjoyed. Some of them I didn't.
Well, I mean, there's 7 seasons. There are a lot of episodes. Some are good,
yeah,
some are bad.
I still like the original ones the best.
What is your favorite original series episode, if you could?
I think I have two.
Oh, all right.
One is, I can't think of the guy's name.
I may be able to help.
The main character was, the actor played, I can't think of his name either. Oh, I know, the Wrath of Khan.
Ah, yes.
I got it.
Yes, Ricardo Montalban.
Right.
So that's a movie. That's the Space Seed, the episode that first introduced Khan, which is a fantastic episode and not the episode that we are talking about. But
this is true.
So did you see that when it was first broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
And
I did.
Did you – Ricardo Montalban was famous at that point as well. So did you recognize him when you watched it?
I
don't know what he did. He was an actor.
He did one series on TV. Fantasy Island.
Yes, but that was way after that.
Yeah, but then he did a lot of commercials. He was more. I believe he was more famous in the late 40s, early 50s.
Well, that's true. But then he burst onto the Star Trek scene, obviously.
Right. And that really brought his name back. People started talking about it. I thought he was excellent in it.
So he was playing – he's a Latin American person, or Latino. I think he's Latino. I don't know. Ricardo Montalban.
We call him Montalban, yes.
He's Hispanic. Some sort of Hispanic person. And Khan was kind of – I think he's Khan Noonien Singh is like an Indian name, so he's playing an Indian name, and I seem to an Indian character or some kind of Indonesian in that area. And I recall reading a little bit about Ricardo Montalban and how he had to play different. He was always cast as a different ethnicity than he actually was, for some reason. I don't know why. But so that's one. What was the other?
The other one was the one with the twibbles.
The twibbles. The tribbles.
Tribbles.
Yes. The trouble with tribbles.
I was always thinking about that one last night. Because it reminds me of, because at that time the trolls were like, because it was, I think it was in the 70s. Or I 60s. Could be mistaken, maybe early 60s. Mm-hmm. But that's when the those stupid troll dolls were coming out.
Oh, with that poofy hair.
Yeah, with that poofy hair, and you could shake the hair, and it would just go wild. Mm-hmm. I like that one. That one was funny.
And so the tribbles were just the trolls, but without a body. Which right. Is the hair. Well, that is also a great episode. Those are two of probably the most widely known and recognized Star Trek episodes ever made, so... Good choices.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Space Seed and the Trouble with Tribbles. If those listening haven't seen either episode, which I find hard to believe if you're listening to a Star Trek podcast, you haven't seen those episodes. If you haven't, you should watch them. Even before they come up on Random Trek, which they haven't yet. Have you seen, I think I made you watch the Deep Space Nine episode in which they go back in time to the Trouble of Tribbles episode. And they meet Kirk and crew. Or maybe I haven't. But
No, I don't remember that one.
Well, then I'll make you watch that.
No, that would be funny.
Yeah, they do a really good job of having the characters from Deep Space Nine kind of, they insert them into scenes with Kirk and Scotty. And
No, I never saw that one.
Well, we'll put it on the list.
Okay.
So let's talk about your favorite Star Trek characters. We talked about your two favorite episodes. Talked about your favorite series already, so I'm going to guess, if I had to guess, your favorite characters will be from the original series, but I could be wrong.
Nope, you're right.
Okay.
I like Scotty.
Scotty, sure.
Right, because he's crazy, he's funny, he makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. And I like Dr. Spock.
Mr. Spock. Dr. Spock is the fertility and baby doctor.
Oh, that's true, too.
Well, you could also like him, but he's not related to
Star Trek. I like Spock.
Now, what do you like about Spock?
Mostly he's like the standing rod. Everybody else is going crazy, and he's always so logical and calm, and you get to the point.
He has no time for shenanigans.
No, that's right. No time for
frivolity.
Right. No time for fooling around. Just everything has to be logical.
And so when the series – so you obviously were around when the series first came out, and you can remember the popularity or lack of popularity of Star Trek as a cultural phenomenon as it started. Right.
Right.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy. And so I read a book called These Are the Voyages, which is a great book, and I've read a lot of stuff about Star Trek. And they – all the producers and people who created it assumed people would go crazy – for Captain Kirk, because William Shatner's attractive, and he's the lead, and he's the hero, and, you know, he's kind of like a quintessential American kind of hero. He gets things done, punches people, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they were surprised when all of the people got crazy about Spock. Everybody was obsessed with Spock. Do you remember this at all?
Oh, yeah. I remember everybody used to do the Spock thing.
Mm-hmm. Which you're trying to do.
Which I can never do.
Well, you've got it all wrong, but that's okay. Here it is. That's the.
What is that?
Now you have to move your thumb. This is there. And then, this is great for podcasting. There you go. Almost. No, you have to keep those there. Okay. Well, it's close enough.
It's close enough.
Live long and prosper.
And then live long and prosper, and then his ears.
Oh, yes.
And if I'm not, you know, and I think his haircut, too.
Mm-hmm. He kind of had that mod.
Right, he had that mod look at the Beatles.
You were a huge Beatles fan.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And Chekhov, they added Chekhov later because he was younger and they wanted to appeal to the people who were crazy about the Beatles. So they gave
him Chekhov was good, too.
I
enjoyed the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really too happy with Kirk, but that's okay.
Well, what didn't you like about Kirk?
Oh, because he was always so self-righteous. He was always so right.
Oh, well. He did. I often say that Captain Kirk will beam down to a planet and observe what they're doing as a civilization and say, your civilization's stupid, do it this way. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
So that kind of sums up. And also, that's a very American kind of perspective, I feel like.
Well, that's true, too. We do think we know everything.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to aliens.
Yes.
Which we have no clue about.
Well, also true. So did you... watched Star Trek, the original series, when it first came out religiously, or was it kind of a thing that
No, we watched it religiously. It was a thing.
Was it your whole family, just you?
Oh, it was me. I don't know if it was everyone. Well, considering you only had one TV, so it had to be all of us.
I guess so. So let's talk about how I got interested in Star Trek, because I don't even remember the first time that I got interested in Star Trek. Do you have any idea when I first expressed an interest in Star Trek? I just remember always liking Star Trek, so I don't know if there was a particular time that I started getting into it or not.
I don't know. How long did the series run? I think by the time you were born, it had...
The original series had been off the air for years and
years. Yeah. Then they brought it back as something else.
The Next Generation.
Okay, that was with...
Captain Picard. Picard.
Okay, you seem to like him.
Yes, I like that show. So I've talked about this before. I ask everybody on the podcast what their favorite series is. And usually my theory is that it is the series that you first saw that got you into Star Trek that is your favorite series, which for me is The Next Generation. So it's my favorite series, even though I think Deep Space Nine is a better series overall. And of course, the original series is the thing that started it all. But so there you go. So I guess I just liked it because it was around. But nobody, I don't recall anyone in our family being particularly interested in science fiction other than me. So I don't know what.
Well, so I used to watch that with you, but I didn't particularly, because like I said, I leaned more towards the original series.
That's true. You're a traditionalist.
Yeah, this is true.
I also made you watch MacGyver, so...
Yeah, well, MacGyver was okay.
I haven't started a MacGyver podcast, though.
Oh, because so. I just watched MacGyver the other day. He cracks me up. You can make a helicopter out with cardboard and duct tape.
That is true. Like Scotty. Scotty could do the same thing. But we're not here to talk about the original series or The Next Generation or MacGyver.
All right, so now what did you like about this episode?
About the episode that we watched?
Yes.
Well, I have said before, Voyager is not one of my favorite series of Star Trek. I like it more now that I've been watching. I watched the first, I guess, two seasons or so, and then I kind of just stopped watching it because I didn't like it. Now that I'm doing this podcast, I've been forced to watch more episodes of Voyager, and there are things I really like about it. I like Captain Janeway, who is the captain.
Okay.
I think she's great. I like Seven of Nine, who was the former Borg.
Oh,
woman.
The Borg one, yeah, okay.
The Unitard. Uh-huh. I like her a lot. I like the ship itself as a thing. I like the idea that they are, and you probably didn't get this from this episode. So is this the first episode of Voyager that you've...
No, you know, as we were watching, well, I recognized the... Captain.
Yep.
Because I believe that she was one of the first Star Trek fleet people that they made a captain as a woman.
That is, she's the first woman main captain. Mm-hmm. There have been other women captains before her. But,
I don't recall.
Well, they were very small parts, but she is the first.
Because I remember seeing
woman who's a captain.
I remember seeing quite a few episodes with her in it. I think she's a great actress.
Oh, she is. Kate Mulgrew is
Yeah, I think she's great.
And if you haven't seen, and I bring this up all the time now because she's very good in Orange is the New Black. So,
oh, no, I didn't see that.
It is on Netflix. You can watch it on the Roku that you forget you have. but
Well, then I also like the way they advance the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from because when in the series first came out, it was... I might say a little Mickey Mouse.
Well, I mean, it was of the time, right? So I've had this discussion.
So for that time period, it was fabulous. But as the years progressed and the technology advanced, and they can do so much more with computers,
mm-hmm.
and like these guys, I have to give them credit because their imaginations are way out there. They have all these things. You know, like the replicators
yep.
and these computers that talk and tell you what to do.
That's true. But that is – so the weird thing about Star Trek – not really the weird thing, but one of the great things about Star Trek is a lot of geeks and nerds have watched Star Trek and then they go off into technology and they try and make what they've seen in Star Trek a reality. So now talking to computers is certainly not at the level that it has been in Star Trek, but it's getting closer and closer. So you can talk to your phone. There's Siri.
See, well, seriously, you know, it's like – That whole series, from the very beginning up until now,
mm-hmm.
it's always been with an eye towards the future. about what we can do. And it's also very entertaining.
Yes, it's optimistic.
It also makes you think. Are there really people out there? Or they're beings? Or
It seems hard to believe that there wouldn't be. But
that's what I say. I can't believe that we're that arrogant to think that we're the only ones in the whole universe.
The whole universe has been made just for us. So we can ignore 99.9999% of it. I agree with you. So this episode, what did I like about it? Well, you talk about special effects and how you like the advancement of special effects. And
the special effects. I like that special effects with the, I guess, the electronic being.
Yes, the plasma being. Yeah,
well, all the different colors and how it just knew exactly what it needed.
Yes.
So it took from that ship what it needed to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool, too. Like I said, the imaginations are unbelievable.
It's true. And I think that this episode – well, I was doing a little research. And this episode won an Emmy for Best Special Effects. And I think because the special effects are very good in this episode. We've got the nebulas look good. The being that floods various parts of the Voyager with gas and things looks good. The EM explosion kind of things look cool. There's also a very particular scene where – in this episode, I guess I'll very briefly recap it and then we can talk about stuff. Voyager goes into this nebula to collect basically, you know, gas for the warp drive. And they end up inadvertently destabilizing the nebula, and something is living in the nebula they didn't know about. It jumps into Voyager, starts fiddling with stuff and making a bunch of systems go haywire. And then it starts asserting itself because it wants to go back to its home.
Right.
And so it kind of takes over the ship, steers them back to the nebula. They go back to where the nebula was, but they destabilize it, so it's gone. This angers the alien. It threatens to kill everybody and take over Voyager. Captain Janeway convinces it not to do that, and they find a new nebula for it, and they drop it off in the new nebula. And this episode has a good framing device in which Neelix is telling this story to these kids because they have to shut off all their power to go into the nebula.
Right,
and so he wants to keep the kids safe and not freaking out. So he tells the story of why they're doing this. So that's that. But there's one scene in particular in Captain Janeway's, I guess, ready room where the camera is shooting through from the perspective of the replicator, and she's replicating coffee,
right.
And so it's awful. And one thing we know about Captain Janeway, you know, Captain Picard likes tea Earl Grey hot. Captain Janeway is a coffee person, so she loves her coffee. And she tastes a sip of the coffee and it's awful, so she says, oh, this is awful. And she asks for it to replicate a new cup of coffee. And this is, I think, maybe The Next Generation had some scenes with replicators going haywire, but this is the best one
right.
that I
it
see.
Right, it made the cup of coffee.
It made the coffee.
Coffee, and then the coffee spilled, and then the cup came down.
Exactly. And so that was a really cool scene. So I like that. And I liked Janeway's interaction. I really don't like Neelix. Neelix is the
that little annoying person.
That little annoying person. But I thought he was well used in this episode because his purpose is he's the morale officer, so he doesn't really. And he cooks. So he's been used to calm down the kids and make sure that they're not freaking out. And the way he decides to do this is he was going to tell them, you know, read them from a book or play some games with
right,
them.
Right, right.
But these are the kids who were former Borg and were rescued in an episode that we talked about on Random Trek, but I forget the name of the episode. And so they are not normal, you know, quote-unquote normal kids.
Right, they're very intelligent.
Yes, so they don't really want Neelix to tell them, you know, a little fairy tale or a kid story. And so he's like, okay, well, I'll just tell you while we're here. And he tells the story of how they ended up here and this alien, because they know that something's on Deck 12 and they're not allowed to see it. And it turns out that this alien has been isolated to this area of the ship so that it doesn't hurt anybody and it can wait until they drop them off.
At his new
nebula home. And that's so what I was saying. So do you know that there's a central piece of information one needs to know about Voyager that I don't know if you get from this episode, if you just watch this episode. Have you any sense that Voyager is stranded in a different quadrant of space and they're trying to get back home?
Yes.
Oh, you did get that.
Yes,
from the
I got that because they were collecting gas or fuel or whatever they did for the reactor so that they can. Okay. And they were at like 80%, right?
Yes.
And then they had to leave. And I got that.
Okay, good.
I sort of got that thing that, like they were searching for something.
Searching for home, basically.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I think if we're looking at kind of the theme of this episode, it is interesting. Because at first you think, the people on Voyager think, oh, this thing wants to take over the ship and kill us because it's a malevolent being.
But the poor thing only wants what they want, to go home.
Exactly. It just wants to go home. And so once Janeway figures that out, because she's the one that figures it out, I question how quickly they figure it out, but they do. So what? They're Starfleet officers. They know these things. I guess it kind of happens. Their ship gets taken over every week. So
I guess, yes.
At a certain point, you just start assuming that something's taking over your ship.
You must have guidelines when your ship gets taken over. Somebody wants to kill us. Somebody wants to go home. Somebody wants all power.
Exactly. So you kind of just jump to that conclusion, I think, whenever anything happens, which makes sense. So when she figures that out, she feels a kinship towards it because she's like, okay, I understand. But also, on the other hand, she has this duty to her crew, and she doesn't want her crew to get killed by this thing.
Correct.
So there's a great scene where she's on I guess she's on her way to engineering, and I think you were asleep during this.
I think I fell asleep during this.
She's on her way to engineering, and
not that it was a bad episode, people.
Well, you didn't. You said
just. Not my thing.
You thought it was boring. So that's okay. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I stayed awake the entire time, so. Through a series of events, the plasma being interacts with starts bringing some databases and figures out it can use the computer comm system to talk to the crew, and so it uses that very familiar voice of the computer to talk to Janeway, and so they figure out some stuff, and it tells her to go to the bridge, and it'll show her some stuff, and that's fine. But then it decides that it really needs to. Once they get to the nebula where the nebula used to be, it freaks out because the nebula is not there anymore. And it blames the crew of Voyager for destroying its home, which in fact they did inadvertently, but they still did it. And so it decides, okay, I'm going to turn Voyager into my home and flood the ship with this gas and kill everybody, which is not nice.
No.
And so Janeway, not so big a fan of that. And it tells her to go to engineering. And she says, no, I'm not going to go to engineering. And it floods the chamber that she's in, and it says, go to engineering. And she says, I'm not going to help you kill my crew. You're going to have to kill me. I'm not going to do anything. And she's about to die. And then she convinces it to let them help it find a new home. And so I thought that was very good. So kudos to Janeway for not getting her whole crew is killed. Yes.
And finding the power source, a new hot nebula to hang out in.
That's right. And not destroying the new nebula by accident. Yes. Using the, whatever, the boson.
Well, I don't know. They were taking something things. Out of it.
Well, they were collecting hydrogen or something. I don't know what they were collecting.
Who knows?
I don't know. So let's talk about, because I think Star Trek is most interesting because of the characters that are in it as opposed to the stories. Although I thought the story was pretty good. I did think I had some quibbles because I have quibbles with everything. It's kind of a creepy, like a ghost story basically is what this episode is, right?
Right.
And so there was atmospheric things, like they turned off the power.
Right.
Because they needed to go into this nebula. Or actually the alien turned off the power because it was fiddling with things. So they were on emergency power. And apparently, on a starship, emergency power means that there is red light in the corridors that turns on and off, which seems to be not the greatest way. You'd want emergency lighting to just remain on the entire time, I think, because it flashes on and off. It's pitch black and then red, pitch black and then red, which makes it very atmospheric when you're trying to tell a spooky story.
True, true. It gives you that psychedelic feeling, you know?
Exactly. But
yeah, but they had those cool flashlights.
Yes,
on their wrists.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty, they were pretty powerful.
Those are good. I just question whoever designed the emergency lighting on Voyager is not good.
Well, yeah, because that other guy, he got punched in the stomach by that young lady.
That's right, Harry Kim. another ensign. Harry Kim, also not one of my favorite characters. He doesn't really do anything in this episode except get punched. And also order everyone to their stations, which I found odd because he's an ensign and why is he ordering everybody else around? But hey, he is. So let's talk.
Because he was there.
He was there. He's taking initiative.
Right. He was the – the leading – the top officer, top-ranking officer.
I guess. I don't know.
I would assume it would be their mess room, their kitchen, dining room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where Neelix hangs out.
Right, right. He was making something.
He was making a big wok of something. Something. I don't know what it was. But Neelix does have a cookbook. I'll put a link in the show notes to Neelix's cookbook if anyone wants to read it.
Does he really? Is he it does. Really?
Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon. It's Neelix's cookbook.
Oh.
I don't know if it's any good.
I wonder what you make.
I don't know. Some Talaxian stew.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
He's a Talaxian, so I assume that it is not Talaxians in the stew, but it is just a type of stew.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about the characters. Neelix is kind of the main character of this story.
Right.
In that he is telling the story. He's the framing device. And he interacts a lot with various characters in it. So what did you think of Neelix? You already said he was annoying. So.
Yes, he is annoying. He is. But he sort of brought the whole episode to a center.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was afraid. He was really, really afraid. And he kept blaming it on everybody. You know, I'm here to, you know, what can we do? Because the crew was nervous when in fact it was him. And then he said that, you know, and when he was little on his planet, they had this big cloud for months. You couldn't see the sun and the stars and that. So that's like his phobia.
Mm-hmm.
But then he collected. Then and see, as he was going to go take care of the kids, I thought they were little kids. Mm-hmm. That's the impression that I got.
Right.
And then when he came and he got the books and toys and stuff, and then when I saw the kids, I go, well, that's not going to work.
Right, because they're
you know, because they're very right. intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a good job storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when the power went out in the one lantern and he put the power pack in the other and he put the light to his face and he scared the kids and mm-hmm. he goes, oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Right, yes. Although I think you might have meant it.
I think so too.
yeah, I mean, I think Neelix is my least favorite character in Voyager. But I think this is perhaps my favorite that I've seen thus far. Neelix heavy episode because I think he was put to good use. Neelix is kind of like a stand-in for the viewer, right? Because he is not a Starfleet officer. He's not super brave. He's not all that capable. Although he's very intelligent and he's kind of their guide in this new quadrant of space that they're in because this is his native land. But he, you know, isn't equipped to deal with the same kinds of things.
True.
The other people do. So he's nervous and very scared, and he had this whole phobia about nebulas, so he has to work through that. But then there's a scene where Tuvok comes to get him from the mess hall, and that's the Vulcan. He surprises Neelix, and Neelix gets scared.
Right, right.
You know, the doors are opening and closing, and the turbo lift doors, and so he has to go into the corridor where the emergency lighting is blinking on and off, which is not great,
right.
As I've already said. So it is kind of a creepy thing, and he's all alone. Neelix has been in the mess hall by himself for 4 hours because Harry Kim told him to stay there. Thanks a lot, Harry Kim. Tuvok, you know, comes to get him and scares him. And he's like, ah. And Neelix and Tuvok have this interesting relationship throughout the series. But there's this nice thing where they have to get to engineering because that's where Janeway has set up her command center. And so they're going through the Jefferies tubes, and I don't know if you were asleep for this or not. And they get cut off because the mist or the gas is.
No, that I didn't see. I must have fell asleep right after that when they were going down the corridor because I remember him saying, we have to go through Jefferies tubes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they do that, and then they get to a certain point that has all of this gas in it, so they can't get through. And Tuvok says, oh, well, maybe I can vent the gas, and he tries to do that, and he gets hit by an electromagnetic pulse. And so Neelix has to, you know, he's very scared of the plasma, and he's scared of this whole situation. Now he's all alone, and he has to figure out what to do. And Tuvok says, well, I have one respirator, so you should take it and leave me here, because the gas is coming closer and closer. And save yourself. And Neelix says, no, I'm not going to leave you here. And Tuvok says, I'm giving you an order. And he has to overcome his fear of the plasma nebula gas, whatever it is. And he does. And that's a good thing. And he kind of drags Tuvok into safety. And hooray for Neelix for overcoming his fear. Who else? Janeway. We talked about Janeway a little bit. You like her. So
yes, I do. I think she's a fabulous actress. And I think she does very well in this particular part, mm-hmm. in this role.
Yes, I agree. So I guess who gets the most screen time? Neelix obviously gets the most screen time. The kids, although they don't really have much character to them other than they're intelligent and they know something's up and they question Neelix and they play along. And one of them says, oh, the boson collectors were emitting some kind of radiation. And one of the kids says they don't emit that kind of radiation.
Right, what are you talking about?
And Neelix has a great line that I think kind of sums up Star Trek, in which he says, well, the technical details don't matter. It's just the story.
It's the story that counts.
Although a lot of Star Trek fans are very obsessed with technical details. So, which is, you know, it's fun.
They're still waiting for, like, Rosie the Robot the monorails and stuff.
The little jet cars.
Right. And they feel like we should have it right now.
That's true. There's a series, there's this great IBM commercial IBM had this campaign where they hired Avery Brooks, who is Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine. See, I'm bringing it in Star Trek. I don't even remember what they're advertising, but maybe like City of the Future or something, whatever. IBM advertises weird things. And one of them was Avery Brooks just saying over and over again, where is my flying car? I was promised a flying car.
Right.
I don't see any flying cars. I'll just drop it in here. One of my favorite little clips of Avery Brooks is his angrily asking for his flying car. I think so. That's what one of the great things about science fiction and Star Trek in particular is that it gives an outlet to writers and people who are watching to see what the future could look like and then strive towards making that future a reality, which I think is the most interesting thing, right? When fiction causes changes in the real world. So we get things like, you know, medical sensors and medical beds that are influenced by Star Trek or...
that would be so cool.
Bluetooth headphones
Uhura
and the communicator.
Well, I think most of the science fiction has really brought us inventions, mm-hmm. and know-how.
Yeah.
Now we just have to figure out how... to get the flying cars, which I would want.
Yes.
And I would really like to travel into space, too.
Oh, all right. Well, you can do – you'll just need to buy a ticket on Virgin Intergalactic and
– No, I want to go like on the Enterprise.
Oh, all right. Yes. That's a better, I think, ride.
I think that would be better transportation.
I think that is true. Because I think the Virgin Galactic – is actually just going to put you in low Earth orbit and then come back.
No, I want to go into deep space. I would love to get that feeling.
So if you, like tomorrow, if they said, okay, we need some volunteers to go off into space, would you volunteer?
Yeah.
Well, all right. I didn't know that about you, that you had this longing to leave the planet.
Oh, yeah. I would like to fly, too, like a bird.
Oh, all right.
That's my best one. I would really, really like to fly. You want- Just like a bird, just
you
to like to be
black.
Free, to be like a free spirit, mm-hmm. and just, you know, like soar and just glide on the thermals.
Well, I think a lot of people, that's one of the most common dreams I think people have about them flying.
Oh, I so awesome. I mean, you could just be up there in the big blue sky.
Flying around.
Just floating around.
Well, that is true. I think I would... If it could be the Enterprise, I think I'd sign on.
But oh, me too, definitely.
If I had to take a rocket into space, I'm not sure I'd want to do that. It seems like a lot of stress. What's going on?
Yeah. I don't think I would like to be like strapped into – oh, no.
No.
I give those astronauts a lot of credit because I don't think I would do it.
Oh, no. I don't think I could do it. I mean, I'm not smart enough to do it.
I would get
but...
claustrophobic.
Yes, it is. You're stuck in a little tube, like the space station. They're up there for months and months on end with each other. It's a little crazy. But we'll just need to wait a couple hundred years.
Oh, geez. Then I'll have to come back as something else.
Well, that's right. Well, maybe we'll be reincarnated.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Who knows? So overall, you didn't really like this episode.
No, I didn't like this episode. Like I said, I lean more towards the original series, but some of them are some of them I really enjoyed. A lot of the you know, because then when you watch these different series as they grow, your own imagination grows and you go, well, you know, that would be really good if we could do that, or if we could, you know, and then, or if they would have like all these medical research things and the computers that could, you know, you move them around and stuff. And it's amazing to see what used to be science fiction is now real.
It's true. There's a lot of, like, the computers on the Enterprise in the original series, we can do better. So Space Seed, an episode that you mentioned as one of your favorite episodes of Star Trek, right, involves one of the pivotal moments is Khan asks Kirk if he can look at the databases on the ship and, you know, just read up because he's been frozen for hundreds of years and he wants to catch up. So there's a scene in which he's reading from this little screen in his office, or not his office, he's in sick bay. And it's basically, at the time, they thought this is what digital books would be, that they had scanned in, you know, pages of books and they were showing the books on this screen. And now that's kind of what we do with, you know, stuff like that. And then the Next Generation has these little pads, and we've got iPads and smartphones and all kinds of stuff. So it's all coming true. I'm still waiting for transporters, though.
Oh, I would love that.
And a replicator.
Just get me there. I want to go from point A to point B. Just send me.
Well, here's the question. So if you could choose a transporter or a replicator, which would you choose?
I think I would choose the transporter.
Oh, all right. I think I might go replicator.
You think?
Well, yeah, because then you could just get
a delicious
sandwich. Yeah, right. You don't have to do anything.
5-course meal.
That's right. And it's all replicated and it's delicious. All right. Well, Mom, thank you so much for being on. I knew you were a little nervous about this, but I think it went very well. And I apologize that it is the nature of the podcast that we randomly were assigned a Voyager episode and not an original series episode.
Oh, okay. Now, next time we'll try for original series.
That's right. All right.
Well, it was fun, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for being my mom. Aw.
Aw.
Next on Random Trek, Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 26, Tears of the Prophets.